Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 23rd of July, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley. I'm here in Melbourne, starting with the silver. It's had an amazing run over the last 24 hours. It's up over 8%. Its sort of counterpart, gold, is also up, but not by anywhere near as much. Now, there's a number of reasons why silver is up. There's one rumor going around that sort of people are starting to appreciate, or investors are starting to appreciate, that silver is a key component in solar panels, but then also, the broader sort of pickup in industry as the global economy recovers from the corona downturn, that, you know, as an industrial material, it will be sort of, its demand will pick up. There's the other sort of critical thing behind this price surge, and that's what's driving the price of gold primarily, and that's the sort of inflationary fears of sort of global investors, where we've got this continuous sort of monetary stimulus from central banks pouring money into the system, particularly in the US. And gold's always seen as a traditional inflation hedge. The financial news site Zero Hedge says, as the way the government is trying to prop everything up and bail everybody out is therefore creating inflation, and the best hedge against inflation is not an overpriced social media company, i.e. the ones in the NASDAQ, but extremely undervalued mining companies that are mining the money that the Federal Reserve can't print, and the money that is likely to replace the US dollar in the global financial system as a primary reserve asset for central banks, and that's gold. There's also rumors that, you know, China may look to sort of peg its currency to gold as a reference rather than the US dollar, which, you know, has a lot of impact as well. In terms of how silver trades relative to gold, the silver to gold ratio has been historically high for months, i.e. silver has been much weaker than gold in a historical sense. It was well over 100 to 1 back in March, and it's dropped back to 84 to 1, but that's still high by historical standards, suggesting that there could be, you know, more of a sort of mean reversion to be seen in the silver price. And maybe people, investors, particularly those holding shorts in the asset, are starting to coin on to that. The Financial Times has run a piece yesterday on the growing involvement of Chinese sort of university collaboration in Australian university research projects. China is now our largest international research collaboration partner, stealing top position from the US. So Australia-China collaborations now make up 16.2% of total Australian scientific publications, which was up from only 3.1% in 2005. It's worth noting as well, though, that the US is also, the US-China collaborations are also increasing, contrary to sort of what you'd expect with all the sort of hostilities we're seeing at the moment. This report is done for the ACRI, and they say that the sort of collaboration with China, between Australia and China, does involve some risk, including, you know, the Chinese government wanting to influence scientific discovery. And as we've seen with coronavirus, the Chinese government had to vet all sort of research coming out of China on the virus. But this report does mention that they don't see that there's a number of sort of the fears that are being sort of brought up aren't really founded on any facts. And China is pouring huge amounts of money into research, and China has transformed into, you know, a global center of research excellence, and it would be sort of somewhat futile to sort of resist collaborative partnerships where they can add value. Continuing on with the China theme, researchers at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation have come up with new research showing that the world's population is actually likely to peak by the year 2100. And China, which is the world's most populous country, will see its population peak in about 4 years from now at 1.4 billion, and then it will fall almost in half to 732 million by 2100. and India is expected to take China's place as the world's most populous nation. Japan, which is seen as, you know, famous for its aging population, will see its population fall to only 53 million in 2100, after peaking at 128 million a few years ago. Italy is expected to fall from 61 to 28 million. It's one of the oldest countries in Europe. So, you know, Italy will be probably smaller than Australia in terms of population by 2100. And the population of Africa is where the big growth is still to be seen. Nigeria will be the world's second most populated country with 791 million by 2100. So this is another report sort of showing some of China's vulnerability. Due to the one-child policy, it has a rapidly, dramatically aging population, which is a huge demographic headwind and economic headwind on a company embarking on a sort of lone wolf diplomacy strategy. And finally, the Australian ran an article this week on Chemist Warehouse, which is Australia's largest pharmacy by revenue. It has about a 20% market share, and it is worth about $5 billion, talk on the street. It generates about $250 million in EBITDA a year on revenue of about $4 billion. It has 300 pharmacies and is sort of known for having a complex ownership model, which allows the business to work around the really restrictive pharmacy laws in Australia, where, you know, you don't have one pharmacy per GP clinic and there can only be a certain distance and all that. And it certainly had a huge impact on bringing, you know, bringing up competition in the pharmacy market here in Australia. The Australian mentions that Wesfarmers could be interested, you know, having spun off Coles not that long ago. They have some cash to spare, and it would be a sort of logical fit. It certainly doesn't overlap with most of their other businesses. However, Chemist Warehouse has sort of always run as a very entrepreneurial business, and, you know, quite innovative and sort of free in how it sort of approaches things. And being part of a huge conglomerate corporate may not be the most sort of value accretive arrangement for the business. But there's talk that they will find a buyer or even potentially an IPO in the fourth quarter of this year due to taxation reasons. Into the markets, despite a sell-off in Europe last night, we are seeing the US market open just over half an hour after open. The Nasdaq's up 50 basis points, S&P up 25. The Australian dollar is even higher than it was this time yesterday. It's now trading at over 71 US cents. Now, that, you know, is probably a large contributor to the negative performance on the Australian market today due to its strong correlation with the dollar. In terms of upcoming events today, we have the National Australia Bank Consumer or Quarterly Business Confidence Survey coming out at 11:30 this morning. And that is your early finance briefing for Thursday. Have a lovely day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.